So, hello, I'm Paula Wiseman, and on today's show, I'm going to be chatting with one half of the fantastic band Morrissey and Marshall. And I'm chatting with Darren Morrissey today, so welcome to the show, Darren.
Thank you very much for having us, Paula. Cheers.
No problem at all. Okay, so for anyone that might not be lucky enough to hear your music before, can you maybe tell us a little bit about your style of music?
Yeah, well, we're a duo hailing from Dublin, as you can tell by the accent, and we're... we've been living in London for the last few years. We initially started out, I suppose, as a harmony duo, which was a lot more acoustic based, and it's just sort of progressed since then. We've in the last few years we've teamed up with John Reynolds, and we've got a big band, bigger setup together. So the sound has naturally progressed. It's still harmony and still has all the roots. But it's a little bit more rock and roll this time around for this album. So
yeah. I mean, your partnership with Greg, obviously Greg Marshall. I mean, how did that all come about? How did you meet? Have you known each other for a long time?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we've basically. It's funny actually. We met on stage at a gig in the old Eamon Dorans. I was in a band, and we were doing an encore, which was an Oasis song called My Big Mouth, and basically Greg's big mouth jumped up on stage after he'd had a few shandies and decided to jump up and join in with us. And then we became mates. That was it. We started writing together, started another band, and moved to London, and here we are.
Yeah. So was it a natural progression? I mean, even the move to London, I mean, it seems to be the norm now for a lot of bands that they make the move to London to just get that bit more coverage that they might not necessarily get here in Dublin.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we had played and exhausted every venue in Dublin, and we'd gotten a little bit of a name for ourselves over there. So it was kind of one of those things where it was what's the next move, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the closest place to Ireland with a big music scene is London, you know.
Yeah.
So we decided to come over here, and we only had acoustic guitars at the time, as I said, and the two harmonies, so it was a lot more stripped back and maybe folky at that stage. And then it was just a natural progression to where we are now. We've just been gigging and jamming and recording and doing all sorts.
Your voices blend together so naturally. You know, it's such a natural sound.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, like, you've been compared to the Everly Brothers, and you've been compared to, like, Simon and Garfunkel's of, you know, I mean, that must be quite an amazing compliment to get.
Yeah, I mean, it's like being a footballer and somebody comparing you to Lionel Messi, you know. It's the absolute top of the pile. Yes, so to be compared to those greats is, it's unbelievable, really. And it was by complete accident, you know. As I said, we only had our only tools, really, were our voices and the guitars. So it was only when people started saying, "Wow, you sound like the Everly Brothers or Simon and Garfunkel," that we really started getting into that music. Because, I mean, we were always heavily influenced by the Beatles and the Kinks and the Who and 60s bands like that, as well as 90s bands. Like, we're really influenced by the likes of, as I said, Oasis and The Verve and Ocean Colour Scene and Cast, you know. There's a big load of bands thrown in, I suppose, and on this album you can really hear all aspects. We wanted it to be kind of a journey, you know, starting off with a heavy brass guitar and vocal style song, you know, and then finishing off the album with stripped back acoustic harmony stuff. So yeah, it's a bit of a journey.
yeah. So I mean, how did the first album come about? Was that just it's a big deal getting an album release these days. I mean, how did that come about?
We were we were contacted by Kevin Godley from 10cc.
Oh my god.
Who had started off this new whole world band app.
Yeah.
And he was to be recording it in a studio in London, a place called New Air Studios, and it was to be recorded by John Reynolds, who does Sinead O'Connor and Damien Dempsey and all of those people, Passenger. Yeah. And Yeah, so we ended up at John's house, and we, you know, all we thought we were doing was going in, recording an acoustic track. It was going to be filmed, and then it was to be part of the app, you know. So we went in and we threw a song down, a song called Pack Up Lady, and Kevin Godley really loved it, and he ran downstairs to John and said, "Oh, come up and listen to these lads," you know. So John came up, and before we knew it, we were in the studio making an album. I mean, it was that quick. I think we went in to do the app in June, and we had a single out, and we were on the telly in August. So absolutely, rapidly quick.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. I was at the time we were busking and we were playing small, like playing open mics and stuff like that, and then within a very short space of time, we hooked up with the Magic Numbers and a load of bands that we were big fans of, you know, Damo. And,
yeah.
I said I hated name dropping, and I just went forward and down.
Dropping them left,
that.
Right, and centre. But,
I was only saying that to Simon Cowell earlier on, actually. So that was it. It was just full on from there. We put the album out, and it's just been touring non-stop and recording ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, we seem to be caught up, especially now. The last couple of weeks have been absolutely crazy. We're caught up in this mad, brilliant whirlwind. Yeah. So long may it last.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? New album. Your new album came out last Friday. And, you know, it's just, I suppose it's all part and parcel, isn't it? Obviously, you've got all the promo, the radio, TV, you know, magazines, and, you know, the amount of media coverage you must have to do, I'd say, must be crazy.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good complaint to have, because obviously without the media interest, there wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. We wouldn't be getting the name out there like we are, you know. I mean, the biggest one for this album campaign, it really is the fact that there are billboards. There are billboards all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, there are billboards in Germany and Hamburg, Dusseldorf, Berlin. Like, I mean, massive, huge things on the side of buildings. And then they're, at the minute, they're all over Dublin as well, in about 40 different locations.
Yeah.
And they're on the underground over here in London as well. So, I mean, everywhere we go, we're seeing our two ugly
buses
all over.
It must be so surreal, though.
It really is, yeah.
You know, seeing these billboards, like, you must pinch yourself every morning when you wake up.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you know, driving around and seeing your face. It's really, really hard to explain the feeling that you get. You know, I mean, we're obviously very, very thankful and happy that all of these people, the big, massive team of people who have jumped on board with us and decided to help us out. You know, we're grateful. But it's just mad, yeah.
Go. Let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process. I mean, I'm assuming that you both write sort of equal amounts, or how does it work?
I would kind of come up with the bones of the song.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely mad for lyrics, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main reason I got into music, was because I loved all forms of songwriting and poetry and lyricists, and, you know, from Bob Dylan to all the way to, you know, hip hop, you know, Tupac.
Yeah.
I just love words, and I love the whole, everything about it. So I do the lyrics and a melody, and then Greg's a brilliant lead guitar player, and he's great for coming up with guitar riffs and things like that. So he'll come in with that sort of stuff, and then we'll work out harmony lines as well. And that's it, really. Then I suppose it just develops from there.
Yeah. So, I mean, would a song start with literally you having an idea, having an idea for a lyric in your head, and you'd kind of go from it, and then Greg would help you sort of flesh it out afterwards?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like an idea could kind of pops into your head or lands on you at all sorts of bizarre times a day or in bizarre situations, and you have to, I feel like you kind of have to capture it when you get it, you know,
yeah.
if a melody line comes to your head or something like that. So I've often pretended to be on my phone and press record on my phone, and I'm singing a melody in a chipper or something like that, you know, looking like a complete lunatic.
Yeah, people work differently. Some people have a notebook, they carry a notebook around. Some people are kind of jotting things down in their phone. And obviously another way is to sing melodies into your phone. It kind of makes sense, really, doesn't it? To capture that moment.
Yeah.
Capture the moment you had idea.
I know, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, if there's a potential there's a potential song that's going to be sung by a massive crowd of people, or, you know, what, why not? I'll risk looking like a Muppet for a few minutes.
So, I mean, singing been something that you've always done? You've sort of, as a young kid, were you always singing? Were you in like choirs and all that kind of thing when you were in school?
Yeah, I was always into singing. Yeah, I mean, I did quite a lot of singing with my grandmother. She was in the old embankment, which is on the Blessington Road. I don't know if you know it, but it was a place where a lot of Irish traditional music used to happen. And the Dubliners used to play there, famously played there, actually. And they had a residency in there. And my grandmother used to warm up for the Dubliners, you know. So she was very musical, and she played piano. And yeah, it was mad. And then she babysat me as a kid. And yeah, we used to stand around the piano and sing away. And then my mum was a big lover of harmonies, you know. So she taught me how to harmonise from a young age. And I mean, harmonies after lyrics would be my second favourite thing about music, you know.
Yeah.
So that was it. I was always sort of singing and jumping and dancing around the house when I was a kid. it's been like that for as long as I can remember. Yeah.
It's my
favourite thing in the world. You know, music is just the best thing about, in my opinion, about life. I absolutely am besotted by it. Every waking second is spent thinking about or talking about or listening to music, you know. So
yeah, so I mean, what sort of music would have been playing in your house when you were a kid? A lot of people seem to be influenced by the music that their parents would have listened to when they were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing to say would be I could just name all the cool bands, but I'll be honest with you and say that there were some very dodgy records.
Oh, there always is.
One of which was, apparently I was a massive Bros fan when I was a baby. So that's probably where the duo thing comes from.
Oh, maybe.
there was some dodgy music, but as well as that, there were, grew up on, my nanny was mad into Elvis, and so there would have been a lot of Elvis Presley records playing, and then my dad was big into the 70s stuff as well, and then the 80s, and then obviously I grew up in the 90s, so it was... Oasis and the Verve and all of that stuff as well. So,
that's the thing. It seems to, you know, things like that. You growing up, music seems to influence. I find with a lot of artists, it influences them as a performer and as an artist when they get their own time, you know, to put music and stuff together.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, it's only really on this record that I've. That all, as I said, all of the influences have come together, you know, in a big, you know, it's like in every song there's a little, you know, a little piece of what I've learned over the years, in each song, and it covers so many different topics lyrically, and it covers, you know, sonically. It goes from the 60s all the way through to the 90s, and then with a modern twist on it, you know.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of Dublin in there, even, you know. I'm delighted that we had the opportunity to spend it, you know, spend time making sure that everything, all of the influences and all of the bits were in there, were crammed into the 10 songs on the album, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to be happy with it at the end of the day. I mean, we were saying earlier, you've just released your second album, We Rise. So what was the process like for this second album, sort of second time around? I'm guessing that maybe you learnt a few things from the first album that maybe you did differently for the second album?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think this time around we were a lot more open with each other.
Yeah.
It was just about making sure that the songs were exactly where we wanted them to be, and it wasn't like there was no you know, just agreeing to go with something for the sake of it, yeah, or for the sake of time or whatever. But yeah, basically, we made sure that every song was exactly where we wanted it to be, you know, in terms of the sound of it and what we wanted on it. And we, I mean, like this time round, there was a lot more money spent on it as well, really, because we had a brass section, we had choirs, we had strings, you know, it was mad, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, it's still a learning process, isn't it? I'm sure when you release your third album, I'm sure once again you'll have a different way of approaching recording the next one as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're constantly moving forward, you know, and we're constantly learning. And I think when you stop learning in music, that's when it's time to give up, you know, because it's all about growing, and it's all about, you know, growing and changing and you know, every album is I hope will sound different and will be at a different place and in our lives, you know. So hopefully every album will grow and progress, and you know, I think it's the best way to do it. And as I said, yeah, just learning all the time. I mean, I've been getting more into the production side of things now as well, and there's a few songwriters after contacting in the last couple of weeks looking to do some writing with me as well. So it's really good. I'm absolutely loving it at the minute. So
yeah, it's about having that bit of control as well, isn't it? Feeling that you've got control over your sound and over your music. I suppose if you're producing, then at least you've got that kind of control aspect.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, definitely. And I think, yeah, I think as time goes on, I mean, Greg wrote a song on this album, wrote all the music for one of the songs.
Yeah.
Which is a song called Play On. And I think Greg is getting more into the writing aspect of it as well.
Brilliant. So
hopefully there'll be no end to the amount of songs that we're turning out, you know.
Oh dear. What was the first gig that you remember going to? What memories do you have of the first gig you ever went to?
The first gig that I can remember, and I'm almost certain it was my first gig, was Oasis in the Point Theatre in 97. Which is years ago, 20 years ago. yeah, and I just remember, there's a couple of things I remember. One of them was Liam Gallagher, I remember his stage presence. I remember he didn't really move. And he didn't really, he didn't have to do anything, but you were absolutely drawn to his, you know, his presence or whatever it was that he gave off on stage, you know. And that he had the ability to make, you know, 10,000 people go absolutely crazy while just standing there, you know, just standing there looking cool, which was I was just blown away by that. And then, yeah, I suppose just watching the band and watching as a young kid, seeing that happening and seeing, you know, listening to the guitar sound and the drum sound, and everything was just so exciting. And I thought, I'd love to do that, you know. But then I'd go to Old Trafford to watch my team, Man United, and say, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that as well, you know. I was a little bit better on the guitar, I think, at playing football. So.
Yeah. So when you were a kid, anyway, what were your aspirations? What did you want to be? Did you know from a young age that you wanted to be involved in music, or maybe you wanted to be a footballer, or, you know, what was your...
Yeah, definitely.
What did you want to do?
All of the very exciting jobs I wanted to do, yeah. I wanted to, yeah. My hero as a kid was Eric Cantona.
So
I used to go and watch him play and say, oh, you know, when I played football, I'd have my collar popped and all of that sort of stuff. And I wore the number 7 shirt and, you know, I was absolutely, I loved football. I think football, to be honest, was my first love, you know, when I was growing up. And then very, very closely followed by, secondly, was music, you know. And then, as time progressed, I just got more and more into music. And, yeah, that was it then.
So, I mean, have you done anything else job-wise? So before there was Morrissey and Marshall, were you doing any other odd jobs?
Yeah, I mean, when we got the record deal, I was managing a charity shop over here, and Greg was working in IT. Yeah, so I was running a charity shop.
Fantastic. Must have been a thrilling job.
Loved. Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it's where we got all of our stage clothes, you know.
So, I mean, are there any touring plans for the new album? I know the album's only just out, so are there any sort of UK or Ireland dates in the offing?
Yeah, well, we've just done a tour of Ireland, a very small tour of Ireland that we've done. We've done quite a few dates in the UK, but next up is Europe. So we're off to we're heading to the Netherlands. We've got some shows over there.
Yeah,
we're doing a festival called West Rock, which is about 10,000 people or something.
Oh wow,
crazy like that. And then we're on from there. I think in the Netherlands we're doing something like 11 shows in 5 days or something like that.
Oh my god,
it's going to be pretty full on. Yeah.
You'll need a holiday. Need a holiday after that.
I know. And we're back from the Netherlands and heading off to we've a few more dates around the UK, and then we're off to Germany to do a few more dates, and that'll be Switzerland, Austria, and yeah.
Wow.
And then holiday, hopefully. Yeah,
get a bit of culture in while you're over there. I mean, yeah, I saw photos of the you played in Trafalgar Square recently as well.
Yeah, that was the St. Patrick's Day weekend that they have, which is like, yeah, that was in front of 20,000 people. That was the biggest crowd we've ever played in front of. That was crazy. Yeah, that was an unbelievable experience. Pick it up and play in front of that amount of people, and predominantly Irish people as well. So in great spirits, as you can imagine.
That's the thing. At least if you get, say, 100 people or, you know, a couple of hundred people saying, oh, they're great, I'm going to go and buy their album, it's sales that you might not necessarily have had you not been able to reach that audience, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, you know, as time progresses, more and more bands are just making their living on the road, you know, and through sales and on the merchandise.
Yeah, it seems to be the way bands make money these days is by touring. It's kind of their main source of income, you know, from merch and gigging and
gigging. Exactly, yeah. Unless you're at the very top of the pile, it's a lot harder to make a living just from record sales. You know, you have to get out on the road, and you have to get out to as many cities as you can. And I mean, it's great fun. It's all great fun. So it's not boring or anything, you know.
Yeah.
Going to different towns and meeting different people all the time, and every gig is different as well. You know, it's not monotonous. So it's good. It's good work.
Yeah, I mean, even seeing you at the Tower Inn store, you've got a very loyal fan base here in Dublin. They seem to be a very loyal little bunch.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they. I mean, the funny thing about it is that sometimes, I just found with our music that when people get into it, they become lifers, you know. Mm. I mean, we had at our Dublin show, we had three girls who flew all the way from Norway to watch us play. You
oh
know,
wow!
To come and see us play live. Yeah, so it's mad. And then we played in Kerry, and there was a crew that came from Manchester to see us play as well. And it tends to happen, you know. Like we've had people come from Spain, Finland, and it's great, you know. So we have the people who jump on board become really loyal supporters, you know. So
yeah. No, there's a lot of it these days. These bands, if you're into a band, you kind of do what you've got to do. You know, travel where you need to travel to, and if you love a band that much, you know, I think it's great to be doing all the traveling and stuff.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, and we're talking to people all the time, and so even a guy said to me the other day, oh, do you know, I'm thinking it'd be great to just sell up and come on the road with you, you know, follow you around and see what you're up to and go around Europe and that stuff. So, yeah, other people benefit from it as well, so it's all good. It's the beauty of music, you know.
That's the thing, probably, you know, punters probably think, oh, it must be a great life. You know, you travel to all these cities and you sort of, you get up at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, play a gig and have a late night. I'm sure it's not so black and white.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Yeah, it is pretty much like that. So you kind of, you have, like, I mean, we're heading off on tour now, and I'm absolutely dead set in my head on I've brought my jogging gear with me and stuff like that, and I'm gonna go and see a little bit of every town when I get there. But I know what's gonna happen, you know. We all know what's gonna happen. I'll get there, get excited, play a gig, get drunk, and wake up the next afternoon and have to hit the road again.
Yeah. At least you've got people looking after you now. Do you know what I mean? You've got people. You're like, I'm assuming you've got your tour manager and stuff will be looking after you while you're away.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've got our team. Our team is just unbelievable. The support and love, and they've been around and will be around regardless of the money. You know, whatever they just believe in it and want to make it work. So it's great. I mean, the team of people we have, from our management, producers, record company, people who come on the road with us, people who sell merch, you know, it's an absolute family of built on love, you know. So it's great, it really is.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, Darren. I know you're off tomorrow to do some live dates. So it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Yeah, it's been great to talk to you too, Paula. And keep in touch over the next while, and let me know.
What's
this
space?
Going on. If ever you want to have a chat, give us a ring and we can chat more.
Yeah, cool. So We Rise by Morrissey and Marshall is out now. It's available in all good record shops.